Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 278, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The Lord remembers we are dust, and all our frailty knows. Man's days are like the tender grass, and as the flower he grows. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 278.
Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Song of Solomon and thereof chapter 2. But first we read our 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Thus far scripture reading.
We hope to remember in prayer the family of Mr. John Harmon, who has exchanged time for eternity in the week that has gone by. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing God, wilt thou remember those that mourn? And wilt thou supply for all that are without comfort in this world, and that do feel in these days the vanity of life, and that do experience in these days that all things here below, they are passing away, that have a little impression in these days of the shortness of our life, but who also miss those whom they love, a dear mother, a dear father, and then so suddenly that we have not even an opportunity to say goodbye to one another. A warning in their midst, a warning in our midst. Oh, we ask of thee, not only for comfort, but also for a blessing upon this calling. Lord, wilt thou bring it with power in our hearts? Wilt thou open our eyes and our understandings? Wilt thou open our hearts that we may see the truth of thy holy word, that we may turn again from all our vain ways, and that we may seek the true and the living God. Oh, give us in this evening hour also an impression of what it is to be given that great privilege to have thy word and to be able to come up to thy house of prayer when we have not been able in this morning, in this afternoon hour, than it is the case with so many in this world, that there is no opportunity to gather round thy word of truth, no opportunity to hear it expounded and preached unto them. Oh, there are so many who are strangers to thy word, who have no idea who that thou art, who are led in ways of error, who are brought up as heathen in this world. O Lord, could it please thee to bring thy word also unto them? Oh, that the ends of the world and may come to hear thy voice, that thou will call them from the east and from the west, that they may come to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But wilt thou look upon us and upon our children? They are blessings that we have taken so for granted, but thou knowest that they are blessings also so precious in the life of thy own. And when they are withheld for a little while, then it is from the land beyond the Jordan I bewail my misery. O Lord, wilt thou give then in the hearts of many a desire, a hunger, a thirst for thee, the true and the living God. Lord, thou knowest that we are dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, we are not able to give it unto ourselves. Oh, there is not one that is able to raise himself or one of his loved ones from the dead. But all power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. And we can beseech it of thee. O thou sayest that we ought to do so in thy holy word. O give us then the spirit of prayer and supplications unto thee, and that thou would open the windows of heaven, even in this evening hour, and that thou would pour us down an undeserved blessing upon us and upon our dear children, O to give the unction of thy spirit to give that men and children and may be raised from the dead, that there may be new hunger and new thirst, that there may be new desire, that there may be a new love, that there may be a new hatred of all of sin and evil, that there may be a turning from all our evil ways, and a true repentance. Oh, that we may come with weeping and with supplications together to thy throne of free and sovereign grace. Oh, that we may experience there that it is as boundless as the open oceans, and that where sin abounded, their grace did much more abound. Oh, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us at the time that does so hasten away from us. Oh, we are either on that broad way or we are upon that narrow way. And thy children, oh, they are walking upon that way and they are traveling unto their long home. Oh, that it may be a matter of a holy jealousy in our midst, and that the cry may go out unto the Lord of Sabaoth, and that thou would also include us and our children, that we may not be left behind in that great day of days, when we will be standing before thy judgment seat, to be placed on the right hand or on the left. O Lord, there is no man that can change his heart. There is no man that can plant love within, that there is no man that can give true regeneration. But, wilt thou extend thy holy arm, and wilt thou give thy power to be known and experienced? For thou sayest, because I live, ye shall live also. Oh, that it may be experienced among young and old. Give in the midst of thy church also instruction out of thy word. Oh, thou knowest that thy children, they are wandering from thee days without number. And it is a people that are so foolish and ignorant in and of themselves. They do not know the way. Oh, they are as the horse and as the mule. There is so much laziness. There is also so much rebellion. Oh, that we need every time again that thou would be the first one, that thou would come, that thou would draw again, that thou would seek out thine own. Oh, that thou wouldst bring in the way of chastisement, that they may be brought again upon the right way, that they may be led to a city of habitation. Oh, that thy children may be given indeed to grow in grace, in the knowledge of themselves, that they may become more and more unworthy, and that thy grace may grow within them. Oh, that young and old together may not have to miss it on that great day of days, only to be cast away with a head full of the knowledge of thy holy word, and with a mouth that has confessed thy name, and then only to curse thee, world without end, in that place where hope shall never come, and where that we shall be apart from thee forever and forever. O Lord, who is able to grasp what that shall be? Oh, we cannot. Wilt thou give a living impression in this day, the true life from above? Wilt thou look upon all those that are destitute and needy, that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place? When there is hunger, when there is thirst in this world, when there are needy ones, when there are difficulties of the mind and of the body, when there is mourning the loss of their loved ones, when there are sicknesses, when there are griefs of children, of families, when there are disappointments, oh, that all these things may lead us to an inner chamber, where we may find that there is a living God, who giveth and who heareth and who answereth prayer. Oh, to whom else can we go? Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. Wilt thou supply then for all, also for those who have difficulties of the mind, those that do not know also where to turn, when it can be that so much loneliness is experienced in this world, when all are about them, loved ones, but they are not able to unburden the needs of the heart. Oh, give them that privilege that they may find a place at thy footstool, that they may experience thy goodness, and that thou may lead them a little into who and what thou art for a miserable and for a wretched people. Lord, that it may be lived out in the life of young and old in our midst. And wilt thou be with the children and the youth? And when Satan does draw, wilt thou keep watch over and protect them? And wilt thou look upon all those that are needy? Supply for all thy servants. Increase their number and give that thy Spirit also may instruct us. Oh, that we may be taught from above. That we also may be given to learn new and old things out of thy law, that we may be enabled to bring them in the midst of thy flock, for who is sufficient for these things. Remember them on the mission fields. Remember those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Wilt thou strengthen them also and give courage from above. Wilt thou be with all that are in danger, also those that come to the help and the aid of those who are needy, those who are this day fighting fires. Wilt thou watch over and protect them also and supply also in those needs. Remember doctors, nurses, and all that care for loved ones and all that are in distress. Oh, give distress of soul while it is still a day of grace. And wilt thou take away the carelessness of our hearts also in this evening hour. Oh, Lord, we stand before it again. And thou knowest what we stand in need of. Oh, who is sufficient for these things to bring thy word? And we cannot give it unto ourselves, O Lord. And we cannot give the knowledge to ourselves. And we cannot give to ourselves what we need within our soul to bring thy word. Oh, we cannot give that life to burn. And that it ought to be as it ought to be also before our own flock. But Lord, then in a moment, thou art able to take away everything that does hinder, to speak and to listen. Could it please thee to give us yet a good hour together in thy favor in this evening, when thou still did give, that we may come together in this hour. Lord, it is undeserved. Thou knowest our sin, each and every one. Take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy and to bless us with heavenly blessings out of thy store and to hear us. Then for the sake of thy dear Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and wilt thou glorify and magnify him and thyself in the conversion of many this evening hour, in the working of a holy jealousy for the blessed portion of thy people. Oh, give a need, give a cry, give a desire, Lord. Do it for thy name's sake, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, to thee I cry, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. O God, our shield, look thou on us, reveal thyself in grace, and let thy own anointed one behold thee face to face. We announce that the condolences for the family of Mr. John Harmon are scheduled for Monday evening from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Picture Butte Church. The funeral is scheduled for Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. 226, 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So we have heard it, congregation, of his coming that was a great wonder for the church of God, but also of his going, a great wonder. Why? Because in his going, even as in his coming, he did have his own purpose, that was to prepare a place for his church, a permanent place. For 3 years, the disciples of the Lord Jesus walked with him every day. What a good time that was for them. And we cannot imagine how is it also when the Lord is working. We read in God's word, there is a time of first love. Then that people are instructed. Every day, it seems, they come into that house of the Lord. And it seems like every time again, then the Lord has a little something for that people, a little instruction, and there is that drawing love, and that is bringing them time and time again into that house of the Lord. But it does not remain so. After the resurrection, and then for 40 days, the Lord Jesus has dwelt with his disciples. And yet it was not the same as it was before. But there was a coming and there was a going. There was an appearing unto his disciples. And in those 40 days, he has instructed them. We read beginning at Moses and the prophets. He has instructed them in the things that concerned himself. But not only so, even that coming and that going was in itself an instruction in those 40 days for the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Because those disciples needed to be weaned from everything that was carnal. We can read, immediately before the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven, and that he was asked, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? And so they needed to be weaned. But then we can read what has taken place in the very end. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Congregation, they were parted. They had to part from one another. And yet we read that they have returned with great joy. We would say, how is it possible? Well, then they are instructed. Then they begin by the Spirit of the Lord to live not by sight, but by faith. And that is not only for the disciples, but that has been already through all the ages, the instruction of the Lord to his church. And that is also what we wish to consider with you in this evening from God's Word, which was read to you, the Song of Solomon, the second chapter, the seventh verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. So far, the words of our text. The bride's charge concerning her beloved. First, a careful prevention of his departure. Second, a humble acquiescence to his will. The bride's charge concerning her beloved. First, a careful prevention of his departure. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love. Second, a humble acquiescence to his will, till he please. Congregation, the fall of man was that fall of man a disappointment unto the Lord? What do you think, children, young people? Was the fall a disappointment unto God? It was not. No, that was in his will. That was in his very decree. You say, why? When we look around us, when we feel within us all the misery that has come about in this world because of the fall, then we say, how is it possible that the fall of man would lie in the decree of God? And yet it is so. And why? Well, there is nothing that the Lord is doing in heaven and in earth that does not have a purpose. And now the Lord, through that fall of man, would bring man into a very, very close relation with himself. When we consider the angels that have kept, we read, their first estate. When we consider Adam, how that he was created as the head of in the covenant of works. And then had Adam obeyed, then Adam would have stood in a righteous relation to God to all eternity. But the Lord, he would bring Adam, he would bring his church into a closer relation with himself. You say, he sent him out of the garden. Yes. He sent him out of his immediate presence. That had to be, because the Lord could not dwell with sin. But he sent him out how? He sent him out with a promise. Or he sent him out with a promise of reconciliation. By whom? By the seed of that woman. And it is through that reconciliation that he would bring his church into a closer relation with himself. Why? Because they will come again, married unto his own son. Oh, how wondrous are the works of God. How deep are his thoughts. Thus, justification, sanctification, they are not ends in themselves. No, the forgiveness of sin, the washing away of sin, they are the means in the hands of the Lord that he may bring that church into that blessed communion with himself, that he may give them the right to that communion, that he may give them the ability to enter into his holy presence. But by nature, we have no desire for that communion. Or is it different? Congregation, it is not different. We may think it is different. But what do we read in the Word of God? We read that we are haters of God. You say, I come to church. I've made confession. I like to come here. I walk a decent life. Yes. We can have all our religion. We can have all our profession, but congregation, how deep is the fall of man? We are deniers. We are deniers from our side of how deep that we have fallen away from God, dead in trespasses and in sins. What does that mean? That means there is not a single true desire. There is not a single true longing after the living God. There was an essential difference between Ruth and Orpah when they stood on the border of Moab. There was a difference that man could not detect. Then those two women, they are weeping. Surely we will go with thee. Oh, who can know the great difference that is in the heart of those two women as they are weeping and as they are walking together with their same mother-in-law. But one is an elect vessel of the Lord, one in whom that good work of grace is already begun, and the other is a castaway. With her tears, with her confession, yes. Or when? When does it become evident? It becomes evident in the examination. It becomes evident in the testing of that wise mother-in-law. Return unto thy country and to thy kindred. Or it is a test that only the true work of grace is able to withstand. O congregation, how is it going to be when We have come through this life. And when we have to stand, you and I together, soon before the judgment seat of God, there we will be examined by the great judge. Then it will not only be a but an omai, but it will be the all-piercing eye of the omniscient God. Oh, and then how our religion that shall all be put to the side. Oh, then the Lord, He is going to be searching for something. And what will He be looking for? He will be looking, congregation, for His own work, glorified in the heart of a miserable and a wretched sinner. Oh, what did Orpah miss? Oh, she missed the longing. She missed the love. She missed the desire for the communion with the God of Israel. She missed what lived hidden in that heart of Ruth. Not only thy people, my people, but also thy God, my God. Oh, that is what Orpah missed. That is what Ruth had by the grace of God. Where does it begin? In that new birth. In regeneration, there it begins. The desire for that true and that living God. Oh, set ourselves next to these two women. Oh, is there something of a desire for that blessed communion, the end of the salvation of that church to the glory of God? Is there something, the smallest part of that desire living in our heart? In that new birth, their faith is planted, and faith begins to believe in God. And the object of that faith becomes the desire also, the affection of the affections of the heart. Oh, do we know something, the smallest part of those affections? It becomes evident in the use of the means. Song of Solomon, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Then they are coming. They are coming to sit, as it were, in the outward court. They are coming with the longing of their heart, the desire of their heart, their soul waiting for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. And what does the Lord say? The needy, they shall not always be forgotten. And so we read it. Because the Lord is coming out into that outward court, into that garden, and He is bringing that longing soul within. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. What are we reading? God's word. To him that hath shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And so the Lord is bringing in to show something to that people of who he is for a black bride. Oh, to glorify his free and sovereign grace in the life of a miserable sinner. His banner over me was love, unfathomable. Why? Because of who? That people do experience themselves to be. He brought me. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and he established my goings. And he put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto our God. Oh, he brought me into the banqueting house. What does that mean? That means he showed to them something of who he is for that people. He showed him something of his dear son. He showed him something of that cursed tree. He showed him something of that perfect obedience. He showed him something of Gabbatha, of Golgotha. He showed him something of the blessed resurrection, of the blessed ascension. He led them into his attributes, and his banner over me was love. That means it was not only for another, but it was applied also to my own soul. A people who thought they had been lost forever, having no hope and without God in the world. And then to experience, and when they feared forever to be cast away, that his banner over me was love, the glorification of the grace of God. And then what do we read? Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Congregation, then that bride, she begins to swoon. That bride, she cannot sustain herself under the manifestations of the love of God. Oh, there is far more to be experienced by the people than they can in their mind comprehend of it. Oh, there is. In the experience of the people, a peace, as we read in God's word, that passes all understanding. We read of that queen of Sheba, and that she came to King Solomon. And what did she say, children? Oh, when she saw all the riches of King Solomon, oh, then she says, the half was not told me. She had never expected that the glory of that kingdom would be so great. And we read there was no spirit left in her. And so we read of that bride, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Oh, then that human body that is not even able to sustain the pouring out of the love of God, and that she is fainting under it. Then there have been children of the Lord who have actually in those moments had to ask the Lord if he would cease a little from pouring out of his love, that they be not consumed thereby. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Then what is that bride experience? That the bridegroom, when she is going to faint under all of his goodness, under his grace that is wide as the ocean, which she cannot believe and receive for herself, or then he is putting his hands around her to catch her, as it were, and that she will not succumb under it. Thus, as she experiences that his help that is on every side. And then what do we read in our text? I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Thus, Solomon, he draws, as it were, the picture now of that bridegroom resting now in the arms of that bride. Thus, he falls asleep there, when she may now embrace him. Oh, it is a picture of the peace that is living in the heart of that bride, when he is revealing himself, when he has brought her into his chambers, and when she may now meditate upon all that he is for her, when she may now meditate on the word that he has spoken unto her, upon the promise that he has given unto her, on all that he has done for her, on everything that he is for her. And then she is, boys and girls, like a mother. Maybe sometimes then your father, he has been hard at work, and he comes home and he is laying in the chair and he will take a little nap. And then your mother will say to you, you must now be quiet so that you do not wake up your father. And so now the bride, as she is speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem, and she is saying to them the same, she says, I charge you that ye stir not up nor awake my love, that you let him sleep. What does that mean? That means that that bride, as she would take care of that communion that she may enjoy with her bridegroom, that she does not want anyone, anything to disturb that communion. Oh, she wants to stay here. Why? Because there is no place like this upon the earth. There is a people who may enter a little into that communion, or sometimes in the house of the Lord. And then they are not waiting anymore, boys and girls, for the minister to stop. No. No, then they would say, go on and go on and go on, because they do not want to leave that place, that anything would disturb that communion that the Lord may give unto their soul. What do we read of Peter? We read the Lord, he has brought those three disciples onto that Mount of Transfiguration. And there they may enter more than the rest into the special communion. There they may receive more than the rest a little entrance into the mysteries of God. And what does Peter say? He says, Lord, it is good to be here. It is good to be here. Oh, children, young people, did you ever say that of the house of the Lord? It is good to be here. Oh, ask the Lord that he would give you so to experience his house while you are still young. It is good to be here. And then he says, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Oh, he wants it to stay just this way, and that it would never go away again. There are times in the life of that church of God that there is congregation, no desire that the daughters of Jerusalem, they cannot understand how that it is in the life of that bride. Oh, only see Solomon setting up the temples unto the idol gods. Oh, see how Naomi can go for so long a time outside of Bethlehem to that land of Moab. Read it in the Song of Solomon, how that the bride, the experienced church, is she is lying on that bed of slothfulness. Awful. Awful. Oh, you would think that people to be heathens. Oh, who is the first one? Who is the first one? Who was the first one? People of the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. He is the beginning. He is the continuance. He is the ending. When it would be left up to the church of God, it would be lost. It would be lost. It would be lost. But then we read that he is coming. And he is putting in his hand by the hole of the door. And then his voice is heard in the life of that sleeping bride. Oh, he is calling unto her, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my locks are filled with dew and with the drops of the night. Oh, he is the first one again and again and again. There are times when that church has no desire. But then in this time, oh, when the Lord, he is coming. When the Lord is drawing that people and when he is bringing them into his banqueting house. And when they may experience in those moments that his banner over me is love, then congregation, it is so different. It is so different. Then in those moments, then this whole world is seen in its reality, how it truly is. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Oh, the Lord Jesus, he has said, if any man will come after me, he said, if he hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, how many times does that church of God not say, how can it be right in my life? But here they do experience it. In those moments, in the banqueting house, truly, it is as Christ says, in heaven, there is no marrying, there is no giving in marriage. No, it is impossible. Why? Because that love that will not be divided, because he will be all and in all. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that thou stir not up nor awake my love till he please. By the rose, by the hinds of the field. Did you ever see them, children? Sometimes we can see them here. We look out there in that field, and then there are some deer. Beautiful. Creatures of the Lord. So tender. It is so peaceful. But one thing we know, children, do we not? That if we want to watch them long, then we must be very what? We must be very quiet, because they are creatures that if we make the smallest move, if we make the smallest sound, then those creatures, they will be gone again. And we, we cannot get them back again. No, then we're going to have to wait until the time that they reappear. And now what does that bride say? She says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Oh, then it is a church that has come to understand that the very smallest thing that chases him away, as it were, oh, then it is the smallest sin, then it is the vain and carnal thoughts. It is a vain conversation. It is the hankering after all the materialism of this world. Oh, it goes on and it goes on. And then, oh, and then in a moment, he is gone. And how many times does that church not have to say, oh, how good it was to be there. But I have spoiled everything again. And now he is gone, and now I must wait again. Oh, that flesh, that wretched flesh. And then in those moments, they are longing, and they are waiting for that time that that flesh that is laid in the grave, and that it nevermore will interrupt those visits again. Let us sing Psalter 25. Lord, who shall come to thee and stand before thy face? Who shall abide a welcome guest within thy holy place? 1-4 of 25. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Why is it that our bride is speaking to the daughters of Jerusalem? They are the younger ones in the experience of God's church. And that bride, she will give to them some instruction. Because that bride, she has lived longer in that way of grace. And she knows how long that can take before that she will experience something of that communion again. Oh, she knows that she is not given to hear the inward voice every day. Oh, she knows that it was 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. And when this is what she has to experience, then the value of the visits of that bridegroom, they are rising in her estimation. O ye daughters of Jerusalem. Then she knows also how small a thing it is that it can grieve him, and how quickly when he is coming that he can depart again. And now these daughters of Jerusalem, they are young. Oh, they are seeking, but they are unacquainted with the ways of that bridegroom. And thus their thoughts, they are not consistent with reality. And they will have to experience for themselves the way that it really is. And then it is not only that they will be careful, that they will not be sending him away, but it is also another instruction. And what is it? I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. What is it? Oh, we say it is a humble acquiescence to his will. She bows. Oh, she says, thy will be done. What did Christ say to Nicodemus? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so he is speaking about the sovereignty of his coming and of his going, that these things he is doing as he pleaseth. Thus, people of the Lord, then not every departure of that bridegroom is due to a sinful provoking of him. It is possible, yes. Oh, that is so easy from our own side. But it is rather also a very natural thing that is in the will of the Lord, that church that has to learn to live by faith and not by sight. Oh, faith, what is it? Faith that is the substance of things that are hoped for, that is future. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Thus, it is necessary that church is learning to live not by the feelings, not by what they can see in these moments, but what they are, that they are learning to live by faith, because that faith that is necessary in the storm, that is greater than that faith that is necessary while they are sitting on a sunny day, or a tree, when it is always being watered, then its roots, they will remain by the surface, and that tree that will be so very weak. But now when it becomes dry, it is through that dryness that those roots, they are going deeper and deeper and deeper, seeking that water in the ground. And so that tree that is becoming more and more stable. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Why does he not stay when it is so good to be here? Oh, because heaven congregation is not upon the earth. That communion that is in its nature the same, that communion is in its essence the same, that people will not do a strange work, they will not meet a strange God. But there is a difference between that communion upon the earth and that communion in glory. And what is it? Oh, the difference is in the measure. The difference is in the endurance. Because the measure, the human body, as it is here upon the earth, is not able to receive that full measure. Oh, one day it will be constant. One day there will be nothing to interrupt it anymore, because there is nothing that will enter into that place that defileth. There will be nothing that will grieve him anymore. And so there will be no more departing. Oh, it will also then endure. Then it will be forever and forever. But heaven, no, that is not here upon the earth. And then there must also be something to draw that people away from the Meshech of this world. Oh, how that people also cleave to this world. But then the Lord, he is coming. The Lord, he is bringing them, allowing them to eat the fruits under his shadow. Oh, he is bringing them into his banqueting house. Oh, he is giving them to taste that his banner over them is love. Oh, he is drawing them that they might run after him. But then he is also departing. Oh, why? That they also may have by times that longing to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Then he is calling, hearken, O daughter, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. O, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, and that ye by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Oh, that bride, as she acquiesces, she says it is good. Oh, and when he comes, oh, and when it is his own pleasure, oh, as long as I am not chasing him away, oh, if it is his pleasure to go again, oh, if it is his will, then it also is good. Because he knows what is best. And if it pleases him to depart, then I will patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. And I will wait for that time and that it pleases him to deliver me from this body of sin and death, and that that I may dwell in that blessed communion forevermore. There is nothing. There is nothing so good in this world as to have a few moments that we may rest in the good pleasure of the Lord. Congregation, there is so much peace and there is so much rest when our soul may be brought to agree with His will. Then there is no murmuring. Then there is no complaining. Then there is no anxiety. Then there is no fear. Because the Lord, He knows what is best. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. O congregation, do we know the smallest part of this blessed communion? Could we work a holy jealousy in the heart of young and old, that you may desire, that you may long for that communion? No, we cannot give it unto ourselves. We know that. I would be the greatest deceiver if I would say unto you that here is now something that you have the power in your hands. If I would say to one of our young people, one of those young boys, we say, now there is a nice girl. Now, why don't you take her? Yeah. I cannot give him love for her. No. And I cannot give love in the heart of anyone for the Lord either. It does not dwell in us. Neither can we give it to ourselves. When we would say, now, I will try to do it, that is good. It is our responsibility. Our responsibility. He is our maker. He gives us food and drink. Think about it. All the blessings that we cannot miss. All the sin that is against Him. That we would try even to affect our own heart. Then we will find out how dead, how deep was our fall. Congregation, does that mean there is no hope? Then why was this word published? And then why are God's servants sent when they are sent to men who are dead in sins and in trespasses? No, we cannot give it to ourselves. But there is one who can give it to us. There is one who can change our heart. There is one, children, who can give us a new heart. A new heart. There is one who can plant love. Love in our heart. When it is not there today, and you say, I have it not, then it can be that before you go out of this door, that it is planted in your heart. Who is that? Who is that that can give it to you? That is the Lord. That is the Lord. Do you know what he has done? When he was dead and he was lying in that grave, he rose. He rose. Is that power? Is your heart dead? Tell that to him. Tell that to him. Oh, go on your knees tonight and say, Lord, now we have heard something of the desire of thy people a little bit, because we can only stammer a little bit. Oh, Lord, I miss it. I miss it. And I cannot miss it, because I'm going to eternity. And that time that is so short, oh, lay it before him. Tell him, how hard is your heart? Tell him, Lord, I love the world, and I do not love thee. And ask him to give it to you. Do you know what he says of himself? He says, that is not me. He publishes his name. He says, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and in truth. Oh, what shall that be? To have communion with that God. With that God. For one moment in this world. To be brought into his banqueting house. Then you shall never want to leave that place again. And what shall that be? To enter into that communion and to enjoy it. World without end. Amen. O Lord, impossible from our side. Thou sayest it. But what is impossible with man, that is possible with thee. We ask it of thee, Lord. We don't deserve it. We have left thee. We have no desire for thee. O Lord, begin with us. Become too strong for us. Draw us, that we might run after thee. And give us to know a little bit, the smallest part, Lord. Oh, that we would be but a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. That is better than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, that we could have that portion that thou givest unto thy people. Then thou wilt be glorified, and our soul shall be saved, young and old. Give the children such a desire in the days of their youth. Spoil our young people for the world. Do it for thy name's sake. Be with us in this night. Bring us safely to our places. Be with us in the week to come, keeping us from all sin, danger, and accident. Remember those who must stand around an open grave. Strengthen them. And Lord, teach us on our way to eternity. For Jesus' sake, amen. 446. 3 and 4. I wait for God to hide me. my soul with longing stirred, shall hope whate'er betide me in his unfailing word. My soul waits for Jehovah with more intense desire than watchers for the morning to dawn of day aspire. 3 and 4 of 446. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.